Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for Mortgage X's and O's, a winning playbook to get you home, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Happy Sunday, Louisville, Kentucky. It's Jeff Vertanapool.
And Michael Shad.
And we're Mortgage X's and O's, the winning playbook to get you home.
Here every Sunday from 9:30 to 10 to educate, entertain, inform, all about the home buying process.
Just really want to make you a better participant and buyer, seller, partner, realtor, lender. We hope that us coming to you on this Sunday will give you some good information, good knowledge to help make your process a little bit smoother, your transaction better, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Or overall, just make you a better person in general.
Yeah, man. We try to put some sunshine out there more than it already is, you know, halfway through the year.
Yes. And
exactly halfway through
the year. We are exactly halfway through the year. Next week is 4th of July weekend. We're going to be on Sunday morning with another great guest. But for those of you tuning in for the first time, here's the way this works. Mike and I realize that our expertise is limited in some degree. So we are humble enough to realize that.
Come on, man. You're hurting my feelings.
I mean, it's good, but limited. And so, as a result, we bring guests in every week.
Give them Shadisms all the time.
You do. You're an elderly statesman type. That was a Shadism back in the day. So, we're in the middle of our fourth year of the show, excited that we come every Sunday. And then we started a segment last year to where we were highlighting new loan officers to Stockton Mortgage. So, if you were a loan originator, a mortgage banker, whatever you want to call it, and you were new with Stockton, we wanted you to get to meet our team. And so we haven't had a new loan officer in for quite a while because we've had so many guests that have said yes to coming on. But we're happy today that we have a member of the Stockton family. He's new to Stockton somewhat, but not new to the business. His name is Jade Burke. Jade, welcome to the studio, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
So it is our pleasure to bring you in. And we, as we told you, our listeners like to get to know our people. So what we like to do in the first part of the show is the story of Jade. So we want to know where you came from if you're not from Louisville. How did you get here? A bit about your background. Like, where'd you go to school? And when we mean school, we mean
high school.
Because that's what they ask in Louisville, Kentucky. And then Mike and I'll find some fun stuff about it. And then we'll talk about how you got into the mortgage business. I want to know how you got the name Jade. We're gonna come right there first. And so maybe you can cover that part too. And then the very end, you know, we'll talk more, a little bit more, and then we'll let everybody know how they can become a customer of yours. How's that sound?
Great.
So in 3, 2, 1, we got the story of Jade.
All right. I'm a hometown guy. I grew up in J-Town, Louisville, Kentucky.
Go Chargers.
Basically, went to St. Edward Grade School, St. X High School, and my first year.
A Tiger.
Yeah. Oh. My first year at UK, then finished up here at U of L.
Okay. All right, wait. So, first off, you know I'm a Fern Creek Tiger. And so, yeah. St. X pretty much owned us the entire time that I was in high school. But we got a couple wins back there in and out. And so, there's two things I want to share with you on that. So, our chant every week before we played St. X was, everybody knows Tigers ain't green and gold. Because we were orange and black, right? And then we would proverbially get thumped and get the squash beat out of us. Now, that was one story. But my freshman year, I think I've told this on air before. My freshman year, I was a 5'6", 125-pound freshman quarterback. And so St. X had 100 players. We had like 30.
Yes.
So the coach made the decision that everyone's going to dress. Okay. So first off, the freshman game is on Monday, the JV game's on Tuesday, and then the varsity game's on Friday. And back then, Friday Night Lights, the Fern Creek St. X game was at Manual Stadium. So this was the only game at Cardinal Stadium was either the playoffs or the St. X Trinity game. So for us to get to play on Friday night at Manual Stadium, this was a big deal, right? So I'm so excited about dressing for the game. But the first of the week, we get beat 41-7 by St. X. So they have this hill, which happens to be the right field hill behind the Fern Creek baseball field currently, and we ran a hill for every point that the opposing team scored on us. So we lost our game Monday. Tuesday, we ran 41 hills. That didn't even bother me. Now I'll tell you this, because wow, I was so excited about dressing Friday night as a varsity, and I'm a quarterback, so I get to throw the ball and stand out there. I didn't know the play. I mean, they were same plays, but there's no chance I'm getting in the game. Well, we have the Friday pep rally. You know, we're playing St. X, and so bus ride over. It's like all the right moves, whatever. Put on the uniform, and we've got different uniforms. That's the first and foremost. There's three number sevens, because I was number seven. So we get there, and man, we get beat 61-3. I mean, lambasted. All right, so the next morning, we're still part of the team. We got to go in for the varsity Saturday morning, turn in your equipment and watch the video and, you know, have a small stretch. Well, they decide we have to run the hill because of how bad we got beat. So all I really got out of that was two thumpings and 104 hills. So anyway, that was the St. X. Now, eventually, Fern Creek got much better in football, you know, after the years. And now they're a great school. I think they had dropped down to, like, Class 5 and had made a couple state championships in the last 10 years. But, you know, that was the previous program. So probably about the time you were there, that's what happened. So that's my St. X, right? So Mike has a question for you, though.
Yeah, we are on ESPN, so we got to get our disclaimer in. What sports prowess did you have as a Tiger or St. Edwards? You know, take us back to the glory days.
I grew up playing basketball, baseball, football, and in high school, I worked in high school. I started delivering papers when I was 13, worked delivering pizzas, and then when I went to college, once I got out, I started selling cars at Brown Brothers Cadillac for a year. Then went into the collections business for about 6 or 7 years. Got people calling about medical collections so that they could purchase a home. And then eventually got sucked into the mortgage business. I played college volleyball at UK on a club team, and then just sort of became a sand rat. But now, since then, I coach volleyball on the side for about the last 20 years, but doing mortgages for the last 22 years, and I just love helping people.
So you really, like, you were a grade school athlete, and then decided to make money during high school and college. That's pretty cool. Where was your paper route?
In J-Town.
Okay. Well, how was that? Did you have to get up, do your own billing?
It was two times a day back then, the Courier Journal and the Louisville Times. Four in the morning and then three in the afternoon.
Do you remember how much money you made?
Probably like $700 or $800 a month.
I mean, that's big money. Yeah. And the flexibility of I don't know. I had a buddy of mine that had a paper route, and man, having to get up that early before school and deliver those morning papers and then deliver the evening paper.
What? You had to bill them too. You had to bill them too.
You did your own billing and the whole
collections.
No, I remember when I first got married and we lived in our house and we ordered the paper. I remember that little self-addressed envelope with the sticky on it that had the monthly amount you had to mail in and pay to get your paper. Man, I almost completely forgot about that. That's insane.
I want to go back to the Browns Brother Cadillac.
Yeah.
So my DJ prowess of 25 years, I work with sound system DJs, and the first gig I was ever a part of to get my training, as I'm using air quotes, was for the owner's daughter's 13th birthday party at Brown's Brothers Cadillac in the showroom.
Okay.
So that's where I had my first DJ gig, I guess, back in 98, 99.
I loved it. I was salaried. When I started there, I didn't even know coupe meant two-door.
How did you get a job selling cars?
They just any needed connections, a or just no, went they and just needed a salesperson.
And did you know anything about cars when you went to sell? Did you sell any cars? Were you
I didn't know what Coupe de Ville meant.
I probably bought more cars than I sold. No, I sold cars. It was
what was your technique? What would you do? Just let the car sell itself?
Yes. I mostly sold used cars, and so I was salaried. I would not know how much they had into it, and I would just be like, I'll get you the best price that I can. So.
And then when you went back in the back and you went to the manager, did first off.
Which time, the first or the fifth?
No, wait. So I was telling somebody this story. I was on my way back home from one of my business trips, and something happened. I said, you know, it's kind of like – it's like, what happened here was something related to a loan, and it was underwriting. You know, it goes into underwriting. I was like, it's similar to when your salesman at a car lot goes back to talk to the manager. Who knows what happens? Can you reveal those secrets right now today? Like, let's say, did y'all just like play games, watch TV, say there's nothing happening, let's let this guy sweat it out a little bit, and then we'll go out there. Were you actually doing some work in there?
They're back here playing solitaire. That's my bet.
They're deciding is how many have we sold this month? Do we need to hit these numbers?
Don't they know that already? So really, is it?
It's just a sweat game, man. I mean, literally, the last car we bought, we knew we were buying it.
Yeah.
And when we went there to finish the financial paperwork, we were still there an hour and a half. You know, for them to like pull the car around, talk to us some more, and I'm like, man, didn't we already do this? We ordered the car. Shouldn't we just be driving it off the lot right now? Why are we going through this red tape thing, you know, song and dance?
I don't know if we made a lot of money on those cars. I was just trying to get people the best deal.
Oh, you made a lot of money on those
and
cars.
And find the
you
right
made
car
a lot
for
of
the
money
right
on
person.
The car. So my wife, God rest her soul, when she was, first year we got married, she had a Ford EXP. No. It was a Toyota Celica. And they gave us $800 on trade. And this was back when they would advertise the cars in the newspaper. And the next week, that car was listed for $5,495. And so I know that was a listing. They probably sold it for four. So and then that $800 they gave us for her trade in, it probably went on the sheet and then
might
came right
spent
back
off. $400 polishing it.
It paid your taxes on the new car.
Yeah, yeah. And so ultimately, though, I mean, it was not a zero sum game. That's really, you know. And I'm not hating on them. That's great. I mean, it served a purpose and we went for it. I just always wanted to know when you said, "Let me go back and talk to my manager." What was actually happening back there? Were you actually talking to him?
Not necessarily. No, might have just been hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. And so those people are like, and then did you sell payment when you came back out? Did you sell payment?
Yeah.
Be like, can you do this right here? Can you do this right here? And it was never the same. Yeah. If you said, look, I can go 230, you come back out and be like, can you go 241? Right?
Yes.
Now,
exactly.
Did that number have anything to do with the actual number, or were you just trying to see if then you'd fit the financing into that?
The financing would just be more money for the dealership.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I knew it. Let me qualify this. Is the car buying process is completely different today. It's transparent today. We're not accusing anybody of any wrongdoing. We're just saying if you grew up back in the day like we did, the 80s, 90s, and you went in there and you negotiated your deal, that was probably one of the things that was happening. Because I've had a really good experience over the last 10 years. Like, you know, I lease primarily, and like I've had the same group of people that I've worked with, and they just call up. We don't really haggle, you know. They send it all ahead of time. I usually know, and I can just go in and sign and drive. And so, you know, it's a lot. It has not been like that for
me
in a really long time. Yeah. Yes, because they have their financing now, too. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, some of the guys that I know in the car dealer business are like, hey, we actually make our money off service and contracts like that, taking care of cars after the fact, more so than pushing the steel. Now, I'm not thinking they don't make money, because they do. But ultimately, you know, I think it's the service contracts that gets it in the end that helps make
money. Yes. If you need an extended warranty, someone would call me later today, and I'll give them your number.
It's so funny, dude. Okay, anyway, down that rabbit hole. So, J-Town, you're born and raised, St. Edward's, St. X, UK, end up U of L, go Cards, and we started, we now know how you got in the mortgage business, but we're not ready to go there yet, because in the interview you mentioned you've been coaching volleyball for 20 years on the side. Tell us about that career before we move into your mortgages.
I got into it coaching my daughter's teams when she was like in the first grade, and
she's in college now.
Yeah, right. My youngest one is still in college. Okay. The oldest one graduated from UK. The youngest one's still at Western.
Okay.
And just fell in love with it. I stopped coaching my youngest daughter in like the third or fourth grade because she was very competitive and at a competitive level. But I've coached at many schools and all the major clubs in the city, and can't see ever quitting.
And you said you played at UK club volleyball. And then he
probably took it to his own predomination in the sand.
Yeah. Yes. What's that mean?
Going sand to sand
is,
volleyball.
Oh, sand volleyball.
Sand is easier on your body when you're 54 years old.
So did you have a big vertical leap? Could you get up high and like slam it down?
I was more of a quicker jumper more than the high jumper. I'm more of a quick jumper.
Did you have a call sign nickname in volleyball? You weren't like Flash or nothing like that?
No.
Well, dude, you have a mohawk, basically. Yes. So people can't see that, but you know, you're not afraid to be on the edge of things, right? So I thought maybe you had some kind of, you know, road warrior, some kind of name.
No. It's a little martial arts, a little volleyball themed, but it's definitely a trademark. Like, sometimes people don't notice me if I have a hat on.
Right. Because they're looking for your mohawk. All right. So that gets us to, you know, what a neat story, man, so far. Now you're in the mortgage business. And then you got there by working collections. What a different... I mean, you go from hunting people down, making you pay, to now you're qualifying people to get them in their most important financial decision ever. Yeah. Where did you start? Where were you a loan officer first?
I started out in Shelbyville on the broker side for the first few years. Then I did, banks for probably the next 15 years. And then came back to the broker side in recent years.
Didn't you work at Wells Fargo at one point?
No. U.S. Bank.
Okay.
Bank of America, formerly Countrywide.
Did you ever work with Todd Ayers? Did you and Todd work together ever?
No.
Okay. So then I know that we've been fortunate to have our team. That was about 6 months ago? Has it been 6 months?
Yeah.
And so what's different today than, would you say, through all these years? What lessons are you learning right now?
Just the challenges of a market where the rates are a little higher, the inventory is lower. You really have to become a trusted advisor to your clients and not just any bank. There's many banks.
Choice. I think is there's so many choices for borrowers. And then not to mention the component that wasn't there when we all first started was the internet. You know, I mean, granted, Rocket and Loan Depot and all them, they weren't as big when we were in the late 90s, early 2000s. Because y'all remember, this company was those that have known the business, First Residential. They were the first company to buy those leads, which Quicken sold them back then, right? Remember the Quicken leads? Mm-hmm. And so they basically had call centers to where the leads would be purchased online, and Quicken was really a search engine optimization lead source before it was a lender. And then it became a lender, but ultimately we didn't do that. You know, y'all, there would be people that would peddle leads. There was guys that would call you and be like,
Lending Tree.
Yeah. Well, no, it was before, Lending Tree was what I was thinking of. Yeah. I'm talking about, there were guys out in the county in the country that'd be like, I'm gonna sell you 300 leads for $50, and you'd get a little floppy disk with all these people's leads, and turn to find out that he had sold them to 10 different mortgage companies in the same zip code. So you know, 10 different lenders were calling the same number of leads. So I don't know if
give
you remember that.
Give me the good leads.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll pay anything for the good leads. No. It's true, and like the biggest complaint in our industry, unfortunately, is things changing on people, and that's not for the better, or it wouldn't be a complaint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's why I love working for a company that has integrity, that quotes everything up front, and their estimates are true and deliverable. And when you lock it in, you know exactly what you're getting, and you're not going to have a million and one reasons why everything changed, or you have a $4,000 fee you didn't know about.
Yeah, that's good.
Love and I think that's what we've learned over the years of when you do have these online competitions, because you're like, we're all looking and going, how are they rate offering that? And then you get them to send you a fee sheet, and like, oh, well, I can help buy your rate to that too. I didn't know they added $5,000 to your closing costs.
Yeah, that's a major detail, right? That got left out is that. Oh, but, and for those listening in, you know, we're sort of dancing around it. But here's the thing: there usually isn't a 1 point difference in lenders because we all get the money from the same place. It is how is it presented to you, and so if you're getting a quote on an interest rate that's a point lower than everybody else, there is a 80% chance that you're paying more closing costs, because there is a typical relationship between interest rate and closing costs. The lower your rate, the higher your cost. Now, I'm not talking about competitively people within a quarter of each other. I'm talking about if Stockton Mortgage is at 7.25% today and the other lender's at 6.25%, it's worth investigating to find out what you're being paid or what you're paying for that rate. And let me tell you what they do. So there's two different ways to buy your rate down. One is a discount point, another is origination fee. And so the buyer doesn't understand to ask both. So we came across a competitive deal that we were up against bidding 2 weeks ago, and the person called and said, I'm getting this rate with this lender. And we'd say, ask them if you're paying points. They called and said, am I paying points? And the loan officer said, no, you're not paying points. But what they didn't tell them was, you are paying an origination fee, which was equal to the amount of points that would have been charged.
Same thing.
Same pants, different pocket. It's true caveat emptor, if you ask me, which is Latin for let the buyer beware. They'll only answer the question that you're asking, not the one that you should ask, in the hopes of getting your deal. Because once a person's made their decision, they don't usually come off that, even if someone comes in behind with a competitive deal. The problem was they didn't know the question to ask from the beginning. And that was the true problem.
Yeah, right. I had a customer early, maybe mid-spring, that was approved with, again, I don't know the lender, I couldn't even get the name I want to. I just know they were out of Arizona, and they're buying in Southern Indiana. And they told the guy, we have $14,000, buying a $300,000 house in Indiana with 3% down. And I'm like, you're going to use every bit of it. Well, the guy quoted him back and says it's going to be $17,000-$18,000. And I'm like, I started, you know, doing the true number crunching. I'm like, look, you're going to be between, you know, 13, no more than 15. So yes, you could be more. And here's your variance. What's your homeowner's insurance going to be? You know, what day of closing are we going to have? Are we closing at the 5th of the month where you're paying all the interest for the remaining of the month? Or are you, you know, closing at the end of the month where you pay little or no interest? Those things are your big moving targets inside of the uncontrollables for us to some form and fashion. You know, because if your insurance comes in because the roof's 25 years old and it comes in at $2,000 and everybody's right around $2,000, there's nothing we can do about that. You know, so we can get you a higher deductible and get it lower, but those are just things that are out of our control. And I just try to let them know, again, like you said, the transparency, and let them know where you truly are up front, you know, because that's just going to make you feel better and when you sleep at night. At least it does me.
Yeah. And I like giving figures both ways, you know, what the costs are going to be at 7, 7 1/8, 7 1/4. Sometimes it makes a difference. Sometimes 7 1/8 is cheaper than 7.25.
No, I love that. I mean, it's to me, I've always told people, no matter how good of a salesman you think I am, the numbers don't lie. They are what they are. Now, and back to that comment I made probably about a couple minutes ago, there are some loan programs that are lower priced. You know, sometimes you'll catch a government bond loan like a KHC that's got a lower rate because it's subsidized, but that's because it's based off of an income level. Mm-hmm. Or you'll get a first-time home buyer with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and it'll be lower. The main point here is that historically speaking, there's not that big variation of rates. Yeah. And if you're there, you need to be able to ask the right questions, right?
Or like when, you know, like Jay probably could speak to this, when you work at the bank, they have a pool of money that they're going to sell cheaper because it's their money at that time. And they decide, hey, we're going to offer these specialty, you know, ARM programs for this, you know, better rate because the rates are so high right now for the summer.
But as you said, it's an adjustable rate. It's not fixed rate. You need
And they're just lowering it for now, but it's just at this bank, you know. So you're, you know, hey, it's just something they can offer because it's their money. And they can kind of, you know, play their own game there for, you know, how they want to sell their money.
Yes. And taking care of your customers, you know, like you would your own, like family, that's my focus.
I mean, listen, folks, that's true. This is genuine. We don't have a script. Jade, we don't tell Jade what to say. We just interview him. And this is and I will tell you, working with him for 6 months and him being down the hall from me, this is exactly who he is at work and how he treats his customers. Because, man, I hear you talking to him. You're one of the most chill dudes I know, man, which is actually really cool. And I think your demeanor helps keep people calm when the transaction is being torched. And I'm thinking that's from your years of coaching, playing competitive sports, and then, you know, trying to make money from day one when you're a 13-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
So what do you want to tell the people out there? What advice would you give? Do you got any blanket advice you tell people out there today who are looking for a mortgage or looking to buy?
Just find the right property that meets your tastes and needs. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
And us getting them the financing is easier, in my opinion, than finding the right property that meets your tastes and needs. In the last couple of years, there's been such a lack of inventory. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have purchased homes that didn't check off all the boxes.
Yeah, man, well said.
And they probably would like to find something that fits more of their needs, and so that gives me an optimistic outlook that things are going to pick up. Rates will always get better. They're not just going to get worse and worse. They've stabilized in the last months.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love what you said, because it's true. You know, there are statistics out there that showing the people don't like the house they bought in the pandemic. Even though they're married to this 2-3% interest rate, they just can't let it go. But the reality of it was they overpaid, or they had to waive things, or just to be competitive, they took the third on their list instead of their first. And, you know, those people who are looking at this saying, you know what, I could sell my house still for top dollar. Yes, money's is more expensive today, but I can refinance when the rates drop, right? Sell your house. Who cares about that 2-3%? Go 8%, 7%, and then refinance to 5% when it comes down. And love your house, because here's the problem. If you wait till they hit 5 and say, okay, now it's time to move, guess what? Everybody else is waiting for them to hit 5 too, and you're going to be right back in the same spot that you were in the first place.
And we hate to break the news to you, it's still some overbidding, upbidding in this market. So imagine when the rates go to 5. Yeah. What it's going to be like again. So don't be sitting on the fence for too long, because you're going to be sad when you come off.
When lots of properties are going on the market, they're not getting all top dollar. Like,
that's right.
Happens
that's right.
A lot yeah. These days.
So, I mean, really, it's the perfect time to sell and buy right now before everything goes. And, you know, and listen, none of us have the true crystal ball, but we're thinking after the election.
I got one on my head, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Mike looks like a full moon over here with his haircut. But I love it, man. You know, he's a mini wrestler looking dude, right? Isn't he? You two, I mean, you guys, you all, we'll do it in case you missed it. You'll see tomorrow when we post this. Jade's got a mohawk. Mike's bald headed, and you know, I still got my hair. I just want to point that out. But one of us had to qualify.
My head is lumpy, or I would have his hair
cut. I like
cut.
Your head. It looks good.
I have a Scotty
Pippen
lumpy head.
I mean, I like it when you walk around, when we go together as a group, you look like the bouncer kind of thing. You know, it feels like security. But you remember me telling you, man, that we were going to run out of time before we ran out of things to talk about? We only have 2.5 minutes left on the show. So I want to dedicate this time to you to tell anybody anything we didn't ask you that you wanted them to know about you or to say or any appeal you want to make. And then finally, tell them how to become your customer. How can they work with Jade Burke to get their home loan, to get their most important financial decision met by you?
One thing that I do is I'm the president of my HOA.
Come on, man.
It's a thankless job. Yeah. I've been doing it for like 14 years. Be a good neighbor. Hmm. Be a good neighbor. Don't blow your leaves into your neighbor's yard. Let your dog do whatever in your neighbor's yard. Let your dog run wild and attack other dogs. I'm looking for someone to replace me. Anyone interested in being the president of my neighborhood, Please reach out.
Okay.
But no, the best way to reach me is contact me on my cell.
Share that number.
502-741-5080. And then my website is stockton.com/staff/Jade Burke.
Okay, Jade Burke. We still have a minute. Jade, how did they name you Jade? Are you named the jewel, or is it more than that?
My mom and dad were children of the 60s.
Okay.
So I started out with just the name Jade, no middle name. I went to the first grade and everyone else had a middle name. So I was like, I'll be back tomorrow. I chose Thomas as my middle name.
Okay.
Had a Thomas on both sides of my family. Yeah. And so now I'm Jade Thomas Burke, but originally
you're just Jade. He was the artist formerly known as Jade. All right, everybody. We are so excited that you joined us for another great show. Thank you, Jade, again for coming down. We will be back next week for our special 4th of July, post 4th of July. Do not blow anything off, folks. It's not worth it. You know, just light those things and run. Be careful out there. Have a great time. Mike, tell them who's coming around after the break.
Phil Baker, Nick Curran, the Sunday Morning Hangover.
They are an awesome group to listen to. We are here every Sunday, 9:30 to 10, right before them. You can listen to us at ESPN 680 AM, 105.7 FM, or live stream from anywhere at ESPNLouisville.com. Thanks again, everybody. Be blessed.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.